You are listening to a sermon by Kevin Hebert, recorded on Sunday, March 16, 2014, at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, my name is Kevin Hebert, and I am a... Well, what did you expect me to say? How do you think I want to be known and identified? I could call myself a Christian, a geek, an accountant, a Mennonite, a snowboarder, an IT manager, whatever. They're all just labels for different aspects of my identity. I was inspired to prepare today's sermon when I read one of the blog postings of the abnormal Anabaptist, Robert Martin. Which was linked to by the Menno Nerds Twitter account. Menno Nerds is a network of Anabaptist bloggers, Twitterers, Facebookers, and Google Plusians from around the internet. Menno Nerds geek out over all things related to Anabaptism, tend to love technology, and like to use it to feed their habit for sharing all things Anabaptist. In his blog entry titled "Missional Discipleship" or "Missional Disciple Making Apprenticeship," Robert Martin wrote, "The church is Jesus' body on this earth. If we want to know about Jesus, about who Jesus is, we need to connect to other people who are doing the same. We journey with Jesus, not as individuals, but as community. In the Gospels, while we do see Jesus teaching his disciples, what we see more often than not is Jesus walking around the ancient world with his disciples in tow while he goes about doing what he's called to do." Last Sunday, Troy Terpstra spoke to us on craftsmanship and discipleship, and then he made a very profound point during the response time in response to Paul Thiessen's question about whether we should all consider looking up to a spiritual director. He answered by essentially saying that we can look for people who are a master in virtue in terms of loving their neighbor or forgiving, and recognize that as the fruit of a craft, the helpful first step for a master-apprentice relationship. In my teenage years, growing up in Yarrow, BC, I looked up to my friend Paul Unger, who was a few years older than me. We played outside a lot, got into trouble a bit, and learned about computers, all the while attending Yarrow MB Church. When his closest friend and across-the-way neighbor died in a tragic car accident, Paul's strength and support for their mutual friends showed me what it looked like to be there for loved ones, even when you're going through the grieving process itself, yourself. He didn't lose his faith in a "why God" crisis and went on to serve in missionary assignments in Kelowna and other places in Canada. As Robert Martin wrote, disciple-making is about imitation, about following in the footsteps of the Master. And if the human person you're following is walking in Jesus' footsteps, you will be too. What does it mean to bring freedom to the oppressed? Look at the Samaritan woman at the well. What does it mean to bring good news to the poor? Look to the widow giving her last two pennies, or to another widow mourning her dead son. What does it mean to give sight to the blind? Look to all the physically blind men he healed and spiritually blind people who had life revealed to them. As for the book of Acts, it's one story after another of the apostles taking other people with them on missionary journeys. Even Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus and to the other churches are letters where he hints at the things he did together with these people. In my university days, living here at the Menno Simon Center for 2 years gave me such rich experiences in living together as a Christian community. The first year, I shared a basement room with Carl Stobie, now a violin concertmaster for multiple orchestras in Manitoba, and in the second year, I was upstairs in the West Wing. I learned a lot about life from the residents, many of whom I count as friends to this day. One example is Cameron Friesen, a pianist and now MLA for Morden Winkler. Cameron taught me that it's not okay to eat leftover lasagna that you find on the kitchen counter just because it might go bad. You're supposed to put it in the fridge for your friend. Cameron also taught me not to assume that musicians aren't good at accounting. He kept meticulous receipts and was early in filing his taxes. Robert Martin continued in his blog saying, "Take a close look at Peter. He spent 3 years following Jesus around, seeing what he did, walking where he walked, even getting some very special teaching sessions with Jesus. And yet, both in the book of Acts and the letters of Paul, we see that Peter still didn't have everything down pat. But he was a disciple. He was a follower of Jesus. How do we know? Because he made the lame walk. He oversaw a group of people who gave hope to the poor. He freed people from the oppression of their sins. In other words, he did what Jesus did, the best mark of a disciple. We heard the scripture reading of John 3, and in chapters 1 to 9, we heard about the Pharisee named Nicodemus, who tried to take Jesus literally when told that he must be born again, and was teased for being a teacher of Israel and yet not understanding. Three of my Menno Simon Center alumni friends are school teachers. Glenn Thielman and Al Rempel in Prince George both got me interested in poetry and gave me an appreciation for the importance of rural land. Our own Andrea Siemens, with whom I shared accommodation along with other housemates after the Menno Simon Center, turned me into an album music groupie by sharing her passion for choral music. In an article on pantheos.com, a site designed to engage people in the global dialogue about religion and spirituality, Christopher Smith's article on Why I Don't Go to Church starts out with him saying, "After college, I had a crisis of faith. I could no longer go to church. I was done being a consumer of religious goods and services. I needed more. Specifically, I needed to belong to a church community, needed to share life with a particular community of sisters and brothers. Specifically, going to church, as the phrase is commonly used, turns church into a consumer experience. I could go or not go to church. Either way, the driving force is not the church community, but me. So in addition to reflecting a consumer approach to church, the language of going to church reflects the individualism of our times." In Genesis 12, 1-4, we heard the story of God telling Abraham at the age of 75 to pack up his family and possessions and go as a group to the land that the Lord would show him in order to be a blessing to future generations. My own story of going out on faith was in the fall of 1996 when I was asked to teach management and accounting courses in English at the Lithuania Christian College in Klaipėda, Lithuania, for an academic term. At the same time, a partner at KPMG Consulting had recruited me from the audit side of the accounting firm after recognizing my interest and skill in computers. So I was able to schedule a break between my old job and my new one to go to Lithuania. With the encouragement of this church and financial support from Evan and Janice Kreider, I stepped out to an unfamiliar country, was exposed to a foreign culture and language, and practiced a new way to serve the kingdom of God in a small way that I could. Christopher Smith continued in his writing by saying, "One of God's primary activities in the world is gathering a people. This work began the Israelite people, the descendants of Abraham, and continued as Jesus gathered a little community of 12 disciples, a number that reflected the 12 tribes of Israel. Through the work of these disciples after Pentecost, the people of God was expanded and no longer defined by Jewish ethnicity, and Greeks were welcomed into God's people now, as well as Jews. Throughout, God is at work gathering a people whose shared life will bear witness to God's love for humanity and God's ongoing work of reconciliation. Our local churches, to which we commit ourselves, can then be understood as manifestations of the body of Christ in a particular place. We are called to belong to a people, not merely to go to church services. As a member of this Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship, I don't just go here because I volunteered to record the worship services or edit the church website. I don't just go here because of the interesting sermons from a variety of speakers and the opportunity for interactive dialogue during the response time. I don't just go here for the free snacks afterwards or the potluck Sundays once a month. In fact, I don't go here for the four-part harmony singing. I would prefer to sing choruses. I thought I would get a gasp, not a laugh. I go here because all of you are part of my community of faith, the people I'm on a journey with, as I go and try and often fail to imitate Christ, as I attempt to follow the path that God has laid out for me. In the book Slow Church, Cultivating Community in the Patient Way of Jesus, Christopher Smith and John Pattison wrote, "In the beginning, the church ate together, traveled together, and shared all facets of life. Centered as they were on Jesus, these seemingly mundane activities took on their own significance in the mission of God. Our calling in Christ is to community, to a life shared with others in a local gathering that is an expression of Christ's body in our particular place. The people of God become a sort of demonstration plot for what God intends for all humanity and all creation. In the March 1st issue of the Mennonite magazine, Robert Brenneman, a sociology professor at St. Michael's College in Vermont, wrote an article, "We Have a Mennonite Pope," which describes how the words and actions of Pope Francis resonate with much of Mennonite faith and practice. A few months ago, Ken Friesen spoke here about Jorge Mario Bergoglio's commitment to a modest lifestyle that displays servant leadership. Examples include, 1, he resides in a 2-room apartment rather than the 10-room papal apartments of the Vatican. 2, he refuses to wear the brightly colored shoulder cape that signifies spiritual authority. 3, on his feet are simple black shoes rather than the famous bright red slippers. 4, his ring, typically ornate for ceremonial kissing purposes, is a simple silver ring. 5, he sits on a simple wooden chair instead of a huge, ornately carved, gold-plated throne. 6, he drives a 30-year-old Renault car rather than a bulletproof Mercedes Popemobile. 7, he's been observed washing the feet of Muslim prisoners, calling lay people on the phone, and carrying his own bags. Pope Francis has made a conscious effort to change both his activities of daily living and his outward appearances in ways that seem to be more aligned with the values of the Christian gospel. He visibly tries to embody the values of simplicity, austerity, and humility that he teaches, and that makes him as close to a Mennonite papacy as we can imagine. The abnormal Anabaptist, Robert Martin, wrote another fascinating blog article called "Following Jesus, It Ain't No Safe Stroll," in which he reminds us that Jesus said, "Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples," in Luke 14, 25-33. Robert said, "Key to this thought is found early in the passage with reference to take up their cross. To us 21st century Christians, this is a nice piece of Christianese that gives us a boost of pride whenever we give up chocolate for Lent, or whenever we decide not to watch R-rated movies or any other things that we may sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. And perhaps some of the things we give up are not quite so frivolous, but I'm willing to bet they still fall far short of what Jesus is referencing here." In another entry, Robert Martin wrote, "I aim to be a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a disciple, a sojourner, a man on a mission, a traveler, an exile. I am living and breathing, which means moving and learning. I am not a Christian, but by the grace of God, I will be more like Christ every day. And that is an amazing thing to be." We are not on this journey alone. We've been given the Holy Spirit to guide and comfort us along the way. This morning in Psalm 121, we heard the words, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time on and forevermore." Amen.